with someone who has has dominance for their life, and they don't respond and do anything. That hurts.
And the videotape in both cases is devastating. We only have 30 seconds, but Angelique, we're talking, this is our last segment here in Milwaukee. Outside the Republican convention, has the Trump team gotten in touch with you? Have your local police gotten in touch with you?
They absolutely have not. And I don't understand. You know, when we have evidence that Sam called home, the shelterless community down there, by all accounts of his character and the character of the other person, it's absolutely not making sense.
What do you want right now as you speak to a global audience? We have about 10 seconds.
Yes, I want transparency. We want clips of the video. We want full clips. We want the autopsy report. We really want justice for my brother.
Well, we're not going to stop here, even as we go back to New York. I want to thank you both for being with us. Angelique Sharp, again, condolences. Sister of Sam Sharp Jr., an unhoused black man killed by Columbus, Ohio police, not far from the Republican convention on Tuesday. And Wisconsin State Representative Darren Madison, his district includes Milwaukee, where Devante Mitchell was killed. We thank you so much for being with us. We'll continue to follow this case. Breaking news, the International Court of Justice has ruled Israel's settlement policy in the occupied territories violates international law. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Are you eloquent in elephant? Can you converse in chimpanzee? Have a heart-to-heart in horse or chat with a cow? Me neither, but we can definitely speak for them. Hi, I'm Michelle Coppola, inviting you to join me every fourth Friday of the month at 10 a.m. for Voices for the Animals, where we give a voice to the issues, concerns, and welfare of the other non-human creatures on the planet. Until we can have in-depth discussions in dolphin or yak, well, in yak, it's a great way to learn about how we can make this a more humane world. Voices for the Animals, every fourth Friday of the month at 10 a.m. only here on KBOO.
You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland.
I can't hear you now.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9 a.m. Next up is Veterans Voice.
If you're happy and you know it,
clap your hands. If you're happy and
what you watching bleed, yeah, nobody knows who the real villains be. So watch us expose what's your real goal. The world's gonna know the truth. You can erase us, dropping guns and faces. We got children braver than your men, you'll never break us. You got people brainwashed, I swear it's a holocaust. Murder women and children, then flip the script to blame
us. Let's talk on the news, they say it's conflict. Zionists celebrate when bombs hit. Makes me so sick, I'm nauseous. We got kids bleeding out unconscious.
Call it for what it is. You murdering all these kids. You burnt down where they live, and they got nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go. Poor young soul. Wipe the tears and let them flow. Regardless, you got more strength than anybody knows. I promise they are cowards while you a king of ours. Yeah.
Call it for what it is, cause it's a holocaust. Who got the audacity to blow up a mosque? Cause so deep inside of me, they got the audacity to lie and repeat. The world goes blind, open your eyes and see. They got everybody hypnotized and deceived.
tell them that your goal is to wipe us from existence. I swear to God, you're gonna lose to the resistance. You can't erase us, dropping guns and faces. We got children braver than your men, you'll never break us. You got people brainwashed, I swear it's the Holocaust. Murder women and children, then flip the script to blame Hamas. How you stay silent? My people been dying 70 plus years of Israeli violence. How you stay silent? My people been dying. Rest in peace to everybody dying from the Zionists. They trying to erase us. Yeah, it is a Holocaust. Just wake up. Free Palestine from the racists. Yeah, I swear to God, you'll never break us.
Welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM. This is Portland calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, 104.3 FM Corvallis, 91.9 FM Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin, and Ty's our engineer today, and we have Aaron, he's learning to be an engineer, and he's here with us, too. I want to say hello to some friends before I get started. Gary and Darla in Nebraska, Kathy and Aloha, and Mitty and her grandchildren. I want to thank Gary and Darla. They went to a Rolling Stones concert in Chicago, and they got me a great Rolling Stones T-shirt. I didn't wear it today, but it's a great T-shirt. I want to start out with, you know, things are crazy right now, and they're going to be crazy for a while, you know, depending on what this election does. To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, kindness. What we choose to emphasize in this complex history will determine our lives. If we see only the worst, it destroys our capability to do something. If we remember those times and places, and there are so many, where people have behaved magnificently, this gives us the energy to act, at least the possibility of sending this spring, the spinning top of a world in a different direction. And if we do act in however small a way, we don't have to wait for some grand utopian future. The future is an infinite succession of presents, and to live now as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, it is a marvelous victory. And that's Howard Zinn. I think that's a good thing to talk about. And, you know, with things going on now, it's good to hear, you know, it's good to know that we can make a difference. We can make a difference. That was sent to me by my brother-in-law, Jeff Browning. He's up by Olympia, Washington. He sent it to me. And so I'm going to, you know, use that for a while. I want to, last month I told you about getting a ticket down at the waterfront during the Rose Festival. And I was down around where the Navy ships were, and Dan Handelman and John Grusha and some other folks were up there with signs saying, you know, that ROTC is bad, we don't want recruiters in our schools, and it was really good. So I was wearing my Vietnam Veterans Against the War T-shirt,
and I was going down into where they had all these booth setups by the where the Navy ship was. And so I was down there, and I told, you know, I'd go to this as a, you know, don't be recruiting our, you know, our children, that this is a Rose Festival. It's not a Rose Navy warship recruiting festival. You know, it's for the children to have fun, to go on the rides and do all of this. And there was recruiting booths in that whole section. And there was two of there that I thought was really, you know, what are they doing here? One was for the CIA, and the other booth was for the FBI. And so I was telling people, you know, not, you know, stop recruiting our children, you know, leave them alone. And there's one, you know, and I went to this one booth, and I can't remember. I asked him, what are you doing? He says, we're just like the Boy Scouts. And I thought, Boy Scouts is recruiting for the military. And so we got to talking, and he starts screaming at me, you know. And it was, you know, that was the worst one. Everybody else was just, oh, we're not doing nothing. And this guy, he starts screaming at me. And so I thought, you know, the heck with that. And I was talking to him. I think she was in the Navy. She had, or she may have been in the Marines. I can't remember. She had camouflage clothes on. And I said to her, she came up and was standing there. And I says, why are you in the military as a woman? You know that the Navy has the worst cases of sexual abuse in all the services. Not only sexual, it's also the rape of both men and women, and the Navy is the worst. And she says, I agree with you, I agree with you, I agree with you. And I said, then why are you still in the Navy? And she didn't answer me. And so I went to the next booth, and I says, are you guys recruiting? And they go, no, we're not recruiting. And then next booth, you know, are you guys recruiting for the Navy or whatever? And, oh, no, we're not recruiting. We're not recruiting. They were recruiting. They're, you know, they giving away little things. And I was going to take, at the booth that the guy was hollering at me, it's the only time they down there they anybody hollered at me. And so he is giving away these little bracelet-looking things. I was going to take one, and he goes, get away from me. You can't have one of those. You know, I was going to take it, and I was going to throw it in the garbage, you know. Excuse me. And so then I went up to back up where Dan and everybody was standing. And all of a sudden, here comes this cop. He just comes right up to me, you know. And he thought I was going to back up, but I didn't. I didn't back up. I just stood there. And he's saying, the Navy doesn't want you down there. And excuse me, just a second. I got to get a drink. My mouth is... The Navy doesn't want you down there. And I was saying, well, wait a minute. You know, we had a, they can't, oh, the city gave the Navy this area down here. And I said, well, you know, we've been through this in the 90s. We took the city to court over this and we won. And you can't tell people they can't be on public property, you know, the sidewalk and down there where the Japanese memorial is. And he said, you know, and I, he says, you can't be down here. Go over instead on the sidewalk. So I said, I want to see your commander, you know. So I went and stood on the sidewalk, and Dan and those guys came and talked to me, you know. And about 10 minutes later, here comes there was 11 cops around me. And we started talking, and the cop, and the commander, I think, and what's the problem? I said, I don't have a problem. And then he started, you know, and because he heard, you know, they told him, and he's talking and everything. And I says, well, you can't tell somebody they can't go down there and talk. I can. We always went to court with this. And he was saying, well, and he said, I need your identification. And I said, did I break a law? and he says, "You're going to get a ticket." And so it was about 20 minutes or more down there arguing with the cops, you know. I have a tattoo on my right arm that says Vietnam, and then there's a peace sign, and then 1968. And a lot of those cops there were veterans, you know. And the main cop said, "Well, I'm not going to arrest you. I don't want to arrest you." I said, "Oh, I don't want to be arrested." He said that a couple times to me. And then he took my driver's license, and he went over to his cop car and came back and had written me up this ticket. And it was a misdemeanor. Well, I got it here. It's a misdemeanor. The above name is accused of the information of crime committed as follows. This is what they gave me. Are you ready? It has my name, date of birth, and then underneath it has SID, none, FBI, none. I think they did a background check to see if I had any warrants. Here it is. Count one. Disorderly conduct in the second degree, Oregon statute 166.025, is a Class B misdemeanor. The defendant, Marvin Simmons, on or about June 8, 2024, in Multnomah County, Oregon, did unlawfully and recklessly create a risk of public inconvenience, annoyance, or alarm by engaging in violent, tumultuous, and threatening behavior contrary to statutes in such cases made and provided and against the peace and dignity of the state of Oregon, dated at Portland, Oregon, in the county aforesaid, July 1st, 2024. And it's signed by Christopher David Ruiz, Deputy District Attorney. So it's okay, you know, none of this, you know, none of it. There was no violence of any kind. All I was doing is talking, you know, free. It's freedom of speech. And all I was talking about what was going on. And my computer, there it is. And I don't, you know. And so then the cops gave me, wrote me up the ticket and everything. And he said, "You got to be at court July 3rd. I thought, "Oh, okay, I'll go to the court." You know, I didn't know anything, you know. And so July 3rd, I had to be there at 8:30 in the morning. And I got there a little early. And you go into the, I think it's the Justice Center, I'm not sure. And then you go in there and you go through the thing to make sure you don't have any weapons or anything on you, you know. And I walked through the little the thing, and it went off, and I thought, "Oh man!" So what it was my belt buckle. I had to take my belt off, and so then I says, "Now where do I go?" And he says, "Go up the stairs. It's right up there." So I walk up the stairs, and there were some people in line, and there's two windows you go up to, and you give them your ticket or whatever, and. And they go into their computer to see if it's been dismissed or whatever. There were some people in front of me. And there was only, when I was standing there was a blind guy there. And then there was, and the only other non-Hispanic person was a young lady. And the rest were either Hispanic or black sister. There were two black sisters, you know, that were there. And so we had to wait around, and then they opened the courtroom up. We went in and sat down, and this lady came around and asked our name. She had a piece of paper and everything on it. She'd mark my name off. And in front of me was two Hispanic guys, and we were talking and everything about it, it was really interesting what was going on. And the judge came in. We all, you know, stand up and all that. And first, the deputy district attorney turn around and introduce himself to us. And he dismissed the case against the two sisters, the black sisters. And I thought, wow, maybe they're going to dismiss me because it's nothing. But no, didn't do it. And so the judge would call your name out. No, the clerk would call your name out. And there was quite a few before me. The blind guy, I think, went first. But also they had people who were in jail. And they were right behind the, close to the judge. There was a door there. And they would open the door and they'd bring somebody in. And then that one attorney lady, I think she's with the city. I'm not sure. And so she would... be the one that would tell the judge, you know, who you were and what you were there for. And a lot of the folks from the prison, I mean, from the jail, I think they were mostly Hispanic, if I remember right, mostly Hispanic, a couple, you know, white folks. But, you know, some of them got let out that day. I think two people were let out, and they was given a court date and everything. And but the judge, you know, was making that decision, and the district attorney that was sitting there, he would say, well, here's what he, you know, what he thought and everything. A lot of them didn't get out of jail that day. A couple did, but in the group I was in, nobody got arrested that day, which was good. And the judge was, you know, people would go up there and you fill this paper out that, you know, how much money you make and everything, and see if you're eligible to have an attorney from the courts and public defender. And the judge was talking, says, you know, there's not a lot of district attorneys who are really having a problem getting, you know, public attorneys and all that. And so he was... would look at that and say, well, you're eligible for for a public defender and all that. And the one guy, the Hispanic guy that in front of me, the judge said, he was a class A, I think, misdemeanor. And the judge said that, you know, you're just a little bit over the amount. And he said, he asked him, and the guy said, you know, I've been trying to get an attorney, and I can't afford these attorneys. They want too much. And the judge says, well, keep trying. And if you can't, you come back in 30 days, and I'll get you an attorney, he said. And so then the guy left. And they got a date, you know, for to come back. And finally, it was my turn. I went up there, and the city attorney said my name and said, he's a veteran. And so the district attorney, assistant attorney, gave a piece of paper to her, and he looked at my tattoo. And he went back and sat down, and the judge said, I see that I didn't fill that paper out. And he said, I see that you're going to get your own attorney. And I said, I want to try. And he said, here, I want you to fill this paper out. And here's a list of attorneys and stuff. And so I said, you know, okay. And he says that come back and we'll give you 30 days. And so I says, okay. And so the clerk lady, had a clerk there, and she brought over the paper, and I got to go back on July 31st, and I still don't have an attorney. I'm talking to some people, and I may be getting an attorney pretty soon. I'm really hopeful. But I'm going to plead not guilty, and I'm going to have my attorney a motion for dismissal, because it's just petty. That's all it is. They just, you know, they just didn't want me down there telling people not to recruit and don't go into the military because this is what it's like. And they didn't like that. But that's too bad, you know. That's just too bad. And so we'll find out on the 31st what happened. If I don't have an attorney, the judge is going to get me an attorney, I guess. That's what he was saying. So then I walked out and came home. I'm really worried about what's happening in Gaza. You know, I talk a lot about that because as a peace activist, as a veteran peace activist, that bothers me a lot because I remember what happened, you know, in Vietnam and how the children there really got really hurt, really bad. A lot of people died because of nothing, you know. If the war was so right in 1965 when they sent everybody to fight in Vietnam, you know, why wasn't it right in 1973 when they pulled everybody out, you know? The death between 1965 and 1973, you know, those deaths are what? You know, what? I don't know. It's just, they send us to fight wars that have nothing to do with us. You know, this Gulf War just started. It's still continuing. And I worry about the children in Gaza. I worry about the children in Sudan. Sudan's really having a hard time. Famine's is causing a lot of trouble in Sudan. You know, it's a fight between the military and militias there, and who's in between, and that's the innocent people. Just the innocent people are dying for what, politics? Same in Myanmar. And other places that we're not really hearing about, you know. Like I told you before, out of wars, 90% of the people killed in a war are civilians. I was reading, and they're still bombing in Gaza. You know, the U.S. and that says, you know, don't go into Rafah, you know. And boy, it's just mission creep. Because they're in Rafah now, and they're still bombing. The people of Gaza have no place to go that they don't get bombed and killed. One of the really problems that is happening there is the sanitation's really a problem. And the trash that's building up is really, really going to be a problem. I mean, they're trying to, the people of Gaza are trying to, you know, get clean, move all that trash out away from where they are. And it's been, 9 months they've been bombing? And the trash has built up so bad that, it's going to cause a lot of health problems in the future. If it hasn't already started. And, the food and medicine, they're still having a bad problem with that. Children are still being killed by the bombings. I heard on the, a news broadcast today about the bombing and the children that had been killed. Every day, 19 people here, 12 people here, 20 people here, 30 people here. And they're saying 38,000 people have died. It's a lot more than 38 people. There's just no doubt about it. When this is over, there's going to be a real, 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 real problem with folks, how to be get people back to where they were. And because I've seen pictures, and it's just devastating. It looks like Europe after World War II, Germany after World War II. And they say the medicine and food's coming in, but it's just a trickle, because the Zionist government of Israel is blocking the entryways. It's taken them so long to go check these trucks out that is bringing the food and medicine in, and people are starving. And that, and this morning also I heard that Gaza, Palestine's only getting, they're not getting, the Israelis, the Zionists have blocked 94% of the water going into Gaza. 94% of the water going into Gaza has been blocked. And where do they have to get the, they're going to drink that bad water that's there. And that's going to make people sick. There's famine. You know, there's people dying in northern part of Palestine. It's just a real problem. And you don't hear, you know, you hear a little bit on the news about what's going on. And I have a report here. What time is it? Okay. It says it's Gaza toll could exceed 186,000. It's a study by Lancet study. The accumulation effect of Israel's war on Gaza could mean the true death toll could reach more than 186,000 people, according to a study published in the journal Lancet. According to the Gaza Ministry of Health, more than 38,000, and I'm sure it's a lot more than 38,000, Palestinians have been killed since Israel launched its military offensive on October 7th in the wake of a deadly Hamas attack. The study pointed out that the death toll is higher because the official toll does not take into account thousands of dead buried under rubble and indirect deaths due to the destruction of the health facilities, the food distribution system, and other public infrastructure. Conflicts have indirect health implications beyond the direct harm from violence, the study said. And even if the Gaza war ends immediately, it will continue to cause many indirect deaths in the coming months and years through things like disease. And I just talked about the sanitation system being destroyed. And you think there's going to be, that's going to cause a lot of disease. Ty, you want to play that second song right now?
Yeah.
He's going to play another song I like. Okay, here we go, folks.
I know how it feels to lose everything, oh. I faced a wall so high above the ground. I've dreamt for hours and hours about the day when and nothing can hold me down. I will fight through all the pain. It's a journey I will make. You can try, but you will never break this heart of mine again. Sometimes it feels like freedom is far away, but I know, yes I know, I belong, I belong, I rise beyond the soul.
It's not easy, I know. Just gotta let it go. I will forgive, I will forgive with all my heart and soul. God has given me the courage that I need. So I can live without a identity. 'Cause I am free. Yes, I am free. Sometimes it feels like freedom is far away, but I know, yes, I know, I will break all the chains, I will break all the chains. Sometimes it feels like nothing will ever change, but I know, yes, I know,
that's a wonderful song. And it's, you know, I was talking about, you know, Howard Zinn's talking about that, you know, everything we do good is going to make things better in the long run. I mean, it feels sometimes like nothing changes, and but it does, slowly but surely. In this country, you know, we can't not stand up and talk and do things that are right. You know, with the coming years, it's going to be hard, I think. I'm afraid that we're really going to have to organize again and stand up for freedom and justice, not only in this country but around the world. You know, people are dying around the world, and a lot of it is with our bombs and things. You know, we have no idea where some of our military is. You know, it took a hard, long time to find out about them being in Africa, but they were, and they are still. And going back to the Lancet study, the study said the death toll is expected to be far larger. Given that much of Gaza infrastructure has been destroyed, there are shortages of food, water, shelter, and the United Nations relief and work agency for Palestinian refugees has seen its funding cut. In recent conflicts, such indirect deaths range from 3 to 15 times the number of direct deaths, it said. After applying a conservative estimate of 4 indirect deaths per 1 direct death, it is not implausible to estimate up to 186,000 people will die, or even more deaths could be attributable to the Gaza war, the study found. Such a number would represent almost 8% of Gaza's pre-war population of 2.3 million. The Lancet study noted that Israel intelligence services, the UN, and the World Health Organization all agree that claims of data fabrication leveled against the Palestinian Authority in Gaza over its death toll are implausible. In other words, they're lying. The Zionist government's lying. And it pointed out that the toll is likely much higher because the destruction of the infrastructure in Gaza has made it extremely difficult to maintain the count that is not lower than the actual death toll. There you go. You know, this country, this government, just look at what we did to Iraq. You know, we just bombed that infrastructure of Iraq. We did the same thing that the Israelis are doing. You know, we bombed the high bridges. We bombed the sewer and water systems. We bombed areas where people were living. You know, you wonder where these people get the idea that the only way that you're going to get something done is to bomb innocent people, or that 186,000 they're saying that that's more than likely, maybe higher, is that 90% of those are innocent civilians. Innocent civilians, you know, 86,000 is way bigger than the little town I live near. It's bigger than another town that's close to me, you know. My late wife used to teach at Pacific University in Forest Grove. And I don't think the population of Forest Grove is 186,000 people. So it just, you know, we live in this bubble, you know. I was talking to Aaron, who's learning to be an engineer down here, and we were talking about, you know, all the music around the world, and we only hear a little bit of it, you know, a little bit. When there's all this music, I was talking about, you know, the music I have when I start my show, I like to use different music. And we were saying, you know, there's all this music around the world, and a lot of people are singing songs about what is happening in Gaza, what has happened to the people of Palestine. I mean, there's people in almost every country in the world has got songs about that, but we only hear a little bit of it, you know. Even if you listen to BBC, British Broadcasting, you hear some, but you really don't hear what's happening in South America, Central America, Africa, Southeast Asia. We just don't hear about that. Here at our station, we hear a lot of music from a lot of different places, and that's really cool. But, you know, we don't know the news coming out of these countries. We don't know what's going, you know, the news coming out of, we haven't heard much about Afghanistan. We haven't heard a lot about Iraq. You know, we hear some about Iran, but it's always bad news about Iran. Lebanon, Syria. You only hear a very little bit, and that little bit is bad, you know. It's bad news. They're bad people. We don't know the people of Syria. We had an office, this woman owned this building, and we got an office in that building, and she would come and sit and talk to us, and she was talking about, she says, you know, when World War II started, they were trying to get us to hate, you know, all these people. And she said, we don't know those people. And she says, when she was working during the Cold War, she said, all she heard on the news was, you know, bad things about Russia. And she said she was working on these docks, and she says she met a lot of Russian sailors and everything. And she says, they're really nice people. You know? We just don't know in this country. We don't know what's going on, really going on in these other countries. And we need to know so we can make our own decisions, that we can put pressure on the government here to make wise decisions. We live in Portland. George H.W. Bush called us Little Beirut because of all the protests we had when he was in the Oval Office. You know, those might be coming back after November 3rd. Might be coming back. U.S. to give another $203 million in humanitarian aid for Sudan. United Nations. The United States will give an extra $203 million to help millions of civilians affected by the war in Sudan. Sudan. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, said on Thursday, calling on other nations to step up their aid. Another drink of water. This is the worst humanitarian crisis in the world, she told reporters. We don't hear a lot about that. The fund aims to help civilians in Sudan and those who have fled to neighboring countries since war erupted on April 2023 between the Sudanese army and the paramilitary rapid support forces. The United Nations says nearly 25 million people, half of Sudan's population, need aid. Famine is looming, and 10 million people have fled their homes. More than 2.2 million of these people have left for other countries. The scale of this crisis is overwhelming, but now it's not a moment to throw up our hands. We must continue to fight for the people of Sudan, Thomas Greenfield said. People are eating dirt to survive, relying on tree leaves for nutrition. And here we go downtown and get a hamburger, you know. And in Israel, people just go down and have a nice meal at these. Nothing changed in Zionist Israel at all. I mean, very little has changed there. There is now a realistic chance of famine in 14 areas across Sudan if the war escalates, which it has. A global monitor said last month. Okay. The UN World Food Program has called to call the sharply worsening hunger crisis the worst in the world. The additional U.S. money makes the total American funding for Sudanese civilians in Sudan, Chad, Egypt, and South Sudan to $1.6 billion since the conflicts began. U.S. Field said the U.S. is the largest single donor of the aid response. But how are they going to get it into the country? They never mentioned Palestine in there. Palestine's going to have a big famine. They already have a famine. We hope this new round of aid serves as a call for action from others, said Thomas Greenfield, who visited Adre on Chad's border in Sudan in September to meet refugees from the war. The war triggered by a plan to integrate the army and the paramilitary forces in a transition for free election and produce waves of ethnically driven violence, blamed largely on the rapid support forces, the paramilitary. The RSF denies harming civilians and attribute the activity to rogue actors. Rogue actors, who are the rogue actors? The United States says the warring parties have committed war crimes, and the RSF and allied militias have also committed crimes against humanity and their ethnic cleansing. Does that sound like somebody we know that's happening in Gaza? They are bombing and killing the people of Gaza every day. And that's just wrong. You know, to be a human being and see that and not know that's wrong, you know, Where are the people going to stay? How are they going to get food? How are they going to get medicine? Where are they going to live? What about the water they need to drink? What about the medicines they need? They're being blockaded. They're being choked to death in Gaza. Thomas Greenfield said the U.S. was prepared to push for more U.N. Security Council action to ensure aid is able to reach those most in need if necessary. They will go in and do that for Chad, Sudan, which really needs the food. I mean, they need medicine, they need food, they need water, but so does Gaza, so does Palestine. They need water, they need food, they need medicine. Children are dying every day, the elderly are dying every day. Between 2014 and 2023, the council authorized the aid deliveries from neighboring countries to millions of people, largely in opposition-held areas in Syria. Was needed because Syrian authorities did not agree to the operation. So there's more politics, and who's paying for the politics? It's the innocent people of Gaza, the innocent people in Sudan, the innocent people in Syria, the innocent people in Myanmar. All these innocent people are dying for food, water, medicine. They're being bombed every day. Just imagine, if you can, every day, every night, not knowing if you're going to die, not knowing if your children, your mom and dad, your brothers and sisters, your aunts and uncles, your grandma and your grandpa, they don't know in Gaza. The mental health of these children that survive, that had family members killed by this bombing, is just going to be a really horrific thing. The world has to stop Israel from blocking food distribution to the people of Palestine. They have to stop this bombing of the people. They're bombing. No, man. Okay, I don't have much time left. But okay, I'm not gonna do that. That one. If you want to support this radio station and all of the programming that we do, you can go to our webpage at kboo.fm and you'll see a donation button. Hit that button and you can donate that way, because we need money to keep us going. We need money to keep on the air. A lot of volunteers here, you know, very, very few paid staff are here. Just before I leave, I got a couple minutes before I'm finished. Navy exonerates 256 black sailors unjustly court-martialed in World War II Port Chicago blast. Port Chicago is not in Chicago. It was on the West Coast, this thing. And what it was the our brothers from African descent. were loading warships with bombs and stuff. And they worked, you know, worked and worked and worked and worked. And there was the U.S. Navy has exonerated 256 black sailors who were unjustly court-martialed. Following the Port Chicago explosion in California that killed 320 people, the sailors have been punished for refusing to go back to work in what they consider to be an unsafe environment. It blew up and killed 320 people. I think that's an unsafe environment. I think that's an took place at the same time when the U.S. military was still segregated and reflected the unfair treatment that black sailors experience. Oh, here they're saying, oh, the blast killed 320 people, and it also 400 people were injured in that blast. The explosion at an ammunition loading area also damaged two ships and a train and caused damage to the nearby town of Port Chicago, located east of Oakland, California. Del Toro's exoneration carries more weight than the pardon, which acknowledged the guilt instead. The exoneration will vacate all of the court martials that the 256 sailors had to go through. Oh, man. Okay. I lost a piece of paper here. I'll find it when I get done. I want to say that don't give up. Don't give up. Do everything you can, you know, to help people of Gaza, to help people in Sudan, in Chad, in Syria, in Lebanon, in Jordan. They're just like us. They're just the same kind of people as we are. They're the same. They're all human. And I'm really counting on us to do the right thing. Okay. We'll be back on August 16th at 9 a.m. And there it is.
Let me get out of the way for me. And so when I'm seated at the desk, this is the background. I have my therapy session, which is virtual, and I find myself looking really forward to it nowadays because I found a therapist that I really like. I had to switch a few times until I found one that I loved, but now I look forward to it a lot. So, gonna hop on that, and I will catch up with y'all in like 30, 45 minutes. Let's talk about therapy. I've been using BetterHelp for the last 3-ish months, and to make it more accessible and affordable for people, I think is pretty necessary. I have loved how easy it is to schedule. I mentioned at the beginning of this vlog that I went through 3 therapists and
very excuse of a soldier, causing this pain became your culture. They lying on the news with no exposure, taking our homes with bulldozers. Too many images I can't unsee. Feel like my heart being stabbed and squeezed. They killing my people every day overseas. How you shoot a child while he begging to breathe? He begging you please, while you watch him bleed. Yeah, nobody knows who the real villains be. So watch us expose what's your real goal. The world's gonna know the truth. You can't erase us,
dropping guns and faces. We got children braver than your men, you'll never break us. You got people brainwashed, I swear it's a holocaust. Murder women and children, then flip the script to blame
Let's talk on the news, they say it's conflict. Zionists celebrate when bombs hit. Makes me so sick, I'm nauseous. We got kids bleeding out unconscious.
Call it for what it is. You murdering all these kids. You burnt down where they live, and they got nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go. Poor young soul, wipe them tears and let them flow. Regardless, you got more strength than anybody knows. I promise they are cowards while you a king of ours. Yeah.
Call it for what it is, cause it's a holocaust. Who got the audacity to blow up a mosque?
Cause so deep inside of me, they got the audacity to lie and repeat.
The world goes blind, open your eyes and see. They got everybody hypnotized and deceived. Tell them that your goal is to wipe us from existence. I swear to God you're gonna lose to the resistance. You can't erase us, dropping guns and faces. We got children braver than your men, you'll never break us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 10 a.m.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM in the Portland area and all over the world at kbu.fm.
We invite you to participate in our brand new public affairs program, Once Upon a Time. Share with us your memories and touchstone events of your life.